Meeting is now being recorded.
All right, so let's start with the people in this room.
I'm Hazem Hezza, member of the Latin GB.
I'm Michael Bauland.
Dennis Tan.
Bill Juris.
Hi, IP. This is Mekha Momin.
This is Matt Staffberg.
This is Miriana Tasic.
And Sarmad Hussain from ICANN. So online we have Asmus, Mark, Will, Nicholas, and Michelle from the IP. So let's get started. We want to discuss the specific feedback the IP had sent to Latin GP on the variant sets in the IP review document. So if you can open that up on your end, and we have that here with the Latin GP as well, and we'll just go through and talk about some specific cases. So over to you all to take it from here.
Thank you. So this is the document that you dated 2018-09-25. So the first issue we want to discuss is the variant between 0070, Latin letter P, and 03C1, so Greek letter sigma, no?
Shouldn't the first one be 0075 in the list?
No.
That's the first one.
Which one?
0075, that's the first one, right?
We have two documents the same day, so this designation which we're looking at is not unique.
Okay.
Could you give the title of the document?
The document is IP review of variants for the proposed Latin LGR dated 2018-09-10, and then your date 2018-09-25.
Okay.
You may want to tell them that you're only discussing some cases.
Yes. So you said there was another case before. So
the first one in my list is this this one, Matt.
I'm sorry, I can't see.
This is the first one in the list, in the documents.
Okay. So I didn't document that. I'm sorry. So we didn't take it up when we discussed either here now.
We're keeping it, but they'd asked us to keep it, take it out.
Yeah, so this is actually connected to...
I think it's connected to the Inverse Day case.
Let's come back to that.
Okay.
Denise, can you look it up and check it? And we start with 03C1, that's the first we want to discuss now. So that's what you have written as Latin variant set 13911, where it's Latin P versus Rho, Greek Rho.
Right. So we're talking about page 11.
Pardon me?
Talking about page 11 of in the document.
Correct. Correct.
Yes.
Great. Thank you very much. That's very helpful.
I'm sorry, I don't have page breaks in this version of the document.
Uh-huh. It can't possibly be because it is page numbered.
No, we transferred it to Google Documents.
This is transferred to Google Docs.
Okay,
so
fine.
That we,
that's your problem.
Yeah. That's why.
Have the page number. Let's find that out what that is. five pages. Okay. Page 11, OC31. Let's go.
Yeah. So, your comment is that you asked us to review the need for the variance between 0070 and 03C1. And we call this the Pepsi case, because if you look at the Pepsi can, you can see that they use a P shaped just as the Greek letter. So in some fonts the P has that shape. So we think there's a case for creating that variant. So with the argument that glyphs nearly identical to the font design.
Okay, so if you think that way, what you need to do is write that the reasoning down, and then send it to us.
We will add this Pepsi argument.
Okay.
So the next.
I don't know what is going to be useful return from IP to GP here. I mean, since we're on the line, do you want us to comment on whether that seems a plausible argument, or you just want to put it on the record and we will consider it later?
Nicholas, we cannot, unless it's completely out of scope, we cannot actually review a proposal that we get in spoken form.
Okay, I just wondered where. Okay.
Yeah. No, this is the ground rules for today. We will not review live things unless we see something that is completely out of scope and will never fly. That we'll be happy. That we will be happy to tell. But if it's anything in the realm of the plausible, it depends on how the argument is presented, how it's documented.
At the risk of going out on a limb, I would say that will never fly, because it's saying that if any form of a character occurs in advertising material, we have to take that into account. That seems a ridiculously unconstrained place to look for arguments, to me, as one member of the IP. That's obviously my personal view.
Right. I would say in a general sense that there is merit to that you can't just have it that open-ended. On the other hand, you could possibly make an argument that a Latin user not expecting to see anything about Greek, seeing a label that is constructed with this shape that doesn't have that little corner in the top left, will recognize it as P and not question it because of the widespread availability of fonts that do not give that corner. Pepsi is by no means the only one.
Okay.
It was... that kind of shape was very popular for a while.
Okay. So basically you're saying that it does have basic plausibility, so we should at least consider it, whatever. Yeah, okay.
Right. And this one is definitely gray enough that we need to go and review it and see how the argument is shaped. If the argument is based only on Pepsi as the only example, it might not fly, but it has a more a generic reasoning about the substitutability of P and Rho from the perspective of a Latin user. That would make a difference.
Okay.
Could make a difference, I should say.
Okay. So the next case we want to raise is 028B versus 03C5, and see if we can find the page.
02A?
Page 2.
For me?
That's in page 2.
Page 2, okay. So that's the one that we're talking about first.
But this is not page. Is this page 2?
Yes. Yes, page 2.
So, here we have a proposing a variant against the Greek 03C5, and indirectly we also have a variant between 0075 and 057D in Armenian. And let's see, we have by transitivity we get 00575 versus 028B, an inscript variant, right?
You said 3C5, the Greek one.
Right. So you asked us to consider the need for 075 and 028B. Which is an inscript variant. That we get indirectly, right? Please help me.
Well, yes. However you get it, if you have the other definitions, you will get it. So let's say you get it and you want it. That's the question.
We want that, yes.
So even if the Greek script did not exist and the Armenian script did not exist, you would be happy having a variant between 0075 and 0028 B.
Right.
Okay, and then what we need is we need your discussion why that is essential. From the logic of the Latin script.
But is that the logic is, are you actually establishing that through the logic of the Latin script, or are you establishing that because of, I guess, transitivity?
That's the only reason they are invariant.
Right. So then,
okay,
then
if
the logic is actually slightly different than them being within script variants, right? The logic is that 28B is a variant of 3C5, and 28B is also somehow the 3C5 is also a variant of 570 or something like that, which actually causes that transitivity.
Right. So this is Dennis on the record. So I think if we were to look this the other way around, if we started with Latin script, we would never have 75 and 28B as variants. Is that from a visual standpoint, they are different. Not nearly identical, so they would not be considered as variants. The only reason they are variants now is because of transitivity due to the relationships that we are establishing across the Greek script.
Greek and Armenian.
And
Armenian
is a very different case. The Armenian, in fact, looks like is the homoglyph of the U in modern forms.
So through Greek script, yeah.
Where the Greek is not an homoglyph. It doesn't have, you know, the on the left, on the right side, it does not have the leg going down. like the 285 also does not have the leg going down on the right side.
So what we've established a we've established a variant between Latin U and the Greek O3C
yes,
5
but
and,
you know,
and also
you have listed
and,
yeah.
And
this
also
is
the
interesting thing for us.
Yes,
interesting thing for us is you have listed a variant, but you have not established it. Establishing would mean that you give a reason why you consider something that is not a precise homotopy. You would have to give us the same argument or similar argument to the case of P. Why the lost little corner, in this case the lower right corner, is one that will be overlooked by the majority or all of the Latin users. Such, that would be the kind of argument that would be required and why that is critical for security. And that's why we wrote that we needed to have you quickly review your cross-cut variant.
Yeah, this is Bill for the record. What's going on here is that we're looking at several different fonts. And in one font, you get the one pair as variants. They're basically indistinguishable. And in a different font, you get the different pair established as indistinguishable, that is, variants. And so that's how you get something from transitivity that within script in a single font would not be, but with transitivity,
that's how it is. Right. First of all, we don't see that strict homoglyph relation because you have not shared in your document the exact fonts and shapes that you have reviewed. That's kind of missing in your providing a rationale for your decision. And second, when it comes to considering different fonts, there. Nicholas mentioned the issue. It can quickly get completely open-ended. So what we like to see in terms of font evidence is basically two things. Is there a generic variability among fonts so that a reader coming from a certain script or certain language will accept two forms as being identical without questioning that? That's one consideration. The other one is the particular relation particularly strong or close in fonts that are very typical for user interfaces? Because that's, you know, the majority of labels will be presented in a user interface font rather than, say, a decorative font.
Okay, what we did was we took two widely used fonts. We took Times New Roman, which is a font with serifs, and then we took one of the sans serif fonts, specifically Arial. And we didn't, you know, look at every font in the world. We took those two primary examples.
Right.
Third one.
Right, and you need to tell us what you did.
And even you have to be even more precise than that. You have to say in which platform, on which version, because those two fonts, in fact, have been moving quite a bit recently. For example, that's why we we did, you know, the similarity or the visual equivalence and homoglyph changed quite a bit in the last few years because Armenian was, in fact, added to Times New Roman and Arial. And that changed completely the picture because suddenly Armenian, which was kind of really different in the old form, became very similar when it was integrated on the new Arial or the new Times New Roman. So it's true. I mean, you have a point, but you have to be really precise, not just with the font name, but also platform on age of the platform. Like, for example, so
we will include some more like screenshots for you just so that we can show you exactly what we have looked at.
You can use PDF as well. I mean, PDF, that's why when I do provide feedback that is font sensitive, you don't just want to have a doc file, but you also want to have the PDF that goes with it so you can guarantee that everyone is seeing the same thing.
Yes, we will provide you with a PDF where they make sure that the fonts are built in
yeah.
the PDF.
Yeah, that's the part where you have to make sure that the font is built in, that it doesn't use a platform font or something like that.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, when you do PDF, always in addition to the Word document, because when we edit it, we need to edit your Word document, not the PDF.
Yes, so we will, next time we will provide the PDF as a normative document and the Word document as something that you can get text from and edit. So especially Armenian case that you mentioned, I mean, we see here on different platforms they render very differently depending on if they use the new form or the old form. It's very different.
Right. But as far as Armenian is concerned, we need to be clear about the ground rules. The Armenian LGR is currently not published, but it is in an approved but deferred state. That means the only way we could change these mappings would be to suddenly reject the existing Armenian LGR, and that is not something that we're contemplating. So
yeah.
You can take all the Armenian mappings as fixed.
Right.
Whether you agree with them or not, they exist.
Right. So our assumption is that all the Armenian and Cyrillic variants are just assumed, and we don't try to remove them in any way. We accept those, and then we assume that we can propose additional variants that will, in effect, add variants to the Armenian and Cyrillic, respectively.
In with limitation, the crucial limitation is you may not propose anything that adds an inscript variant in either one of those scripts, because that would invalidate those LGRs.
Yeah.
And if you feel that an inscript variant is absolutely essential and the internet will die without it, then we will have to go and invalidate those existing LGRs. That would be really bad, but you know what I'm saying.
Okay, so we understand that, and if we see something where we're about to die, if we don't get an inscript variant, we will die. No, we will raise that, and so I think there is some case where we...
But the bar to us accepting that is extremely high, because it would mean that we retroactively have to invalidate a approved but not published LGR, and that is something that we will need. The sky really has to be falling before we do that.
Okay. We'll see. Then I'm this Latin Greek. If
for a... So we had a 03C7. We have discussions on that. So this is which page is this?
It's 13.
13.
Okay. So it's 078 versus 03C7. That is an ongoing discussion with us, whereas 078 versus 04B3 has been removed or will be removed by us. So we don't insist on that one. Maybe on the first one.
The case of where you would have introduced an InScript variant and on very flimsy evidence, so it's good that you're removing that.
Yeah, and we took that into account when we had a discussion that it would create an InScript variant, and our Cyrillic informant, Mirjana here in the group, she insisted that these are very different from a Cyrillic point of view. So, and the next one we want to discuss is 03B3.
Fifteen.
Do you know what page and
page 15? Yeah.
It's Y and 0079. Have you found the page?
Yeah. Page 15.
Yeah, page 15.
15.
Yeah.
Page 15. So here we see that when we look at different rendering, that the Latin Y is nearly identical to both the Cyrillic letters, one of which is used in Mongolian. And we had a discussion here. Mirjana, who's Cyrillic reader, she found the InScript variant reasonable. So we plan to reach out to the Cyrillic generation panel to discuss this. So this is a case where we the sky will fall, we think.
Okay.
You realize that if they agree, they will have to revise their LGR and post it again for public review. I think that
Will
have to be done.
Now I realize that, so we have to inform them of that, of course. The next one on our list is OODF, which is Sharp F. The German Sharp F is page, you know what page?
The next page.
17.
So we propose that to be a variant of the Greek beta.
Yeah.
For a German reader, the Greek beta has a shape which is completely acceptable as a sharp S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little news to me, but yeah.
Pardon me?
It's a little bit of a bit of news to me. I do not usually confuse the two.
You're speaking to another native reader of German there, you realize?
Well, I'm not a native reader, but we have two native readers here in the group.
This is Michael on Michael. I read that when you compare the beta and the sharp S, they do not look alike, but when you simply look at the beta, it's exactly in the form I would use it. And that's why we think that this could cause confusion if you use a beta in places where the sharp S would have been used.
Right. So if you want to make that argument, I think what you have to do, you'd have to create some plausible labels that are all in Greek and contain a beta that look like a plausible German label. And
okay.
I think for this effect to work, it almost would have to be a label that is an actual German word.
Okay, we can try.
Because when you have a native word, what people do when they read, they may look at the shape of the word as a whole rather than go letter by letter. So if you can find good examples of that, that might help support your argument.
Okay, thanks.
Because the issue never arises with one code point versus another. It has to arise in the context of a label.
Yeah.
And in the case of the Greek rho and Greek p, the Greek rho and Latin p, it's not inconceivable in the future that somebody might spend the money to try to register .pepsi. Whereas, you can create labels that look reasonable but you can't express .pepsi in Greek. So you have to figure out examples that actually work where you have reasonable labels that can be created in both scripts and look. Look as a label substitutable. So you're not done with your work. You've done the code point one, and now you need to see can those code points actually be used for labels.
Yeah, I mean, we still have to be a bit, not that too strong on that, because after all, you can create acronyms on kind of things that are not necessarily meaningful. They can just be, acronyms on, or even repeated letters, we have seen that before, the triple O's. So there is,
Michelle, sharp S in particular, unless you view it from the Greek end, has the same sense. If you start something with a sharp S, it is really against the normal way it's used. And
in German, yeah, I get that. I mean, yeah, sharp S is never the first letter in German, for example. It's never going to happen.
If
at least I know that much, yeah.
Exceptional, both in Greek and German, if you have any. Just from the, as you've been adverting, the phonotactic of sharpest S, which is at the end of a syllable, is completely different from those of beta, which is always at the beginning of a syllable.
Yeah. I think we're in agreement here.
So it's going to look
out
of the ordinary, and hence perhaps be less useful for fishing than many other cases.
Yeah, if you have an out of place, it looks. That's what I'm saying about if you, for many letters, you can put them in a random place, and so you can make nonsense strings, and they look fine. Certain letters don't lend themselves to all types of nonsense strings, and if you create one. people will not use their normal way of reading words, which is to look at the entire shape of the word to get it. They will look at letter by letter. And I maintain that the minute people look letter by letter, you need a much higher identity of letter form to be as effective as spoofing. But if you can create a good suggestive sample where you have an actual word in the language that can be written in another script and looks completely plausible as a whole word, that I would find that more persuasive than individual letter similarity.
Yeah, we will start looking.
I guess that in Greek you can create acronyms, and then you could have a theta as the last letter.
No, a spoofer would not care what the thing means in Greek if he tries to target Latin and vice versa. So you also need to talk to your Greek informers and find out, are there some German words, or not German words, are there some combinations you can make in Latin with the subset that is the same, that has variants, because the entire label has to have variants. So if you have a subset of code points that have the variants, can you construct something out of the Latin subset of variants that matches a Greek word? Can you construct something out of the Greek subset of variants that matches a Latin word in whatever language? And if you have that, then give us that example, because that will support your argument.
Yeah, but I don't think that it would work the other way around. The character O-O-D-F would, for Greek people, most likely not look like a beta. So we could just make the argument this way around, where we use a beta instead of the sharp F, but not vice versa.
And we understand that all characters in label have to be taken from variants.
Same script, yeah.
So that we have just one script.
Right. So for instance, in the German case, a German user expects a sharp S following a vowel. So you don't have all that many vowels that match. The O principally. Yeah. And so you have to create a plausible label that has an O followed by, I mean, an omicron followed by a beta. And it better be something that is either a word or a very believable word, especially since acronyms in German would tend not to use the sharp S.
That's true, yes. I agree. We will look for a Greek only label that is a German word or almost like a German word.
Perfect. That would be a good supportive example.
Okay, thanks.
So the next case is O3B1.
On page 18.
Page 18. So this is the Latin letter A versus Greek letter alpha.
Right.
So this shape, the alpha shape, which also exists as a separate code point in Latin, but not in our subset, is an alternative to the normal A in fonts and in writing. So this is not a case where they look alike, because we can see here that it's written in times or Arial. They look different. So this is more a non-visual sameness between the two shapes. So the Latin reader will not be surprised by the shape that O3B1 has. It will consider that to be the same as an A.
In certain fonts, not in all.
There's at least an argument. Yes, I agree. There's at least an argument you can make that way. So we're looking forward to you making and documenting that argument.
Okay, we will do that.
So you're more like a critique of a semantic point of view here, like more than revision.
Yes. Well, right, because we have the two shapes of the A, the hook A and the bowl A, and they're very common alternation in that typography. And so their argument is because that's a common alternation, even if the actual font that you tend to use in a user interface is different, if you get presented the label in sufficient isolation from other text and are not somebody who's, you know, whose business is to realize, you know, the details that fonts are doing, it can look very plausible. So at least that argument can be made. But yeah, it's almost like a semantic variant.
Well, I wouldn't call it semantic, but yeah, something like that.
Yes, it is, because you're saying the alpha is recognized as an A, even though it doesn't have the same shape. That makes it a semantic variant.
Yeah, it's about interpretation rather than the actual shape.
So then the next case is a sibling of the previous, where we have the A with acute accent.
Same page.
Yes, on the same page. So it's OOE1
right.
And OCAC. Same argument.
You have to treat both. Yeah, you have to treat both the same. There's no choice.
That's right. On next page, I think we have the sigma. OOE7 versus O3C2, and we will remove that variant between.
That sounds smart. Yeah.
So.
Sometimes we're smart, yes.
Yeah, but not always.
Very good. Yeah, we were scratching our head when we saw that one. I'm sorry to say that.
So we don't want you to lose all your hair.
Very good. I appreciate that.
And also, on next page, we have O1CA versus O3AF. And we will also let you not scratch your hair anymore, and we will remove that.
Which one was it?
013A. No, wait a minute.
Yeah.
013A versus O3AF.
And OOED.
Right, there's actually three involved in there. Yeah, okay. So one you keep and the one you want to...
Yes.
Do you want to keep the inscript? So what about ED?
Keeping that, right?
Yeah.
We keep the OOED versus O3AF.
All right. So you're removing 13A, that's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. And then the next one, we also decided to remove the OOEF versus
0390.
Okay.
Right.
So is he doing that systematically whenever you have this combined Greek accent, you remove the equivalent with the umlaut or diaresis?
This is with, in this case, there's a, OOEF is the I with diaresis, and 0390 is the Greek iota with diaresis and tonus. But that
right. And so
variant we remove.
That's, yes. But are you doing the systematic for all other cases of diaresis on one end and the diaresis and tonus?
I think there was just another one. The next page has the next one with the U. That's what you probably make the same, I guess.
Yeah. So let's.
Yes, yes, one. The next one with U we'll also remove.
Yeah, okay. That's kind of answering Ursula's question then.
So, and.
Move. You mean you were proposing it as a variant, but now you're not? Or
correct.
That's precisely right, Nicholas.
Okay.
Yes.
That follows our recommendation at the bottom.
We remove the proposal of that as a variant set,
okay,
or variant pair.
Right. Right.
And, of course, I mean, we will update all our papers, so you will get this. And if we move down to next page, I think, it's 01A1 versus 036.
3C3.
03C3.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So
we always look at sigma, yeah.
Yeah.
So when we look at the different rendering, we still feel that there's good evidence for keeping that as a variant pair.
Okay, well, we as you can tell from our comments, we're skeptical, so please make a good argument to convince us.
Yes, and we go down to 025B.
That's on page 25 for now.
Yep.
So we have 025B against 03B5. So Latin epsilon versus Greek epsilon. And we have 025B versus 0454, so Latin epsilon versus, is it Cyrillic?
Yeah.
Epsilon. And we also think there's a good argument to keep these as variant pairs.
Mm-hmm. And I guess in these cases, the documentation will be provided.
Yes, we will provide we will provide our findings from inspecting the different fonts, the three different fonts that we've used.
Yeah, I think the IP was neutral on that one. We were willing to accept evidence, but we were kind of waiting for more evidence.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, yes?
But especially if we in our review already referred to, it could be shown that glyph alternation of the two forms is an acceptable variation font design, that would be fine. Argument that we can't prove that. We weren't able to find fonts that that actually did that so quickly. That's why we said that you could do it. But independent of font designs, it's simply a plausible alternation. Not least because the mathematical use has a case where the epsilon has been modified to look more like the Cyrillic letter, with a slightly different meaning of element of. But it's just it adds to the level of making them confusable, at least for people with any technical training.
Yes, and also Greeks will see the two versions as possible variants.
Identical.
Graphic variants.
Right.
Well, if Greek sees it as a variant, then we will inherit it anyway.
Yeah, well,
right.
Yeah, we'll be to see what they actually propose when they do propose something, but, yeah.
This is the problem of them not...
Which has different shapes.
This is the problem of them not proposing anything. But, yeah, you could make the argument is that there's a good chance you would inherit it anyway. You might as well add that as a supporting argument. Okay?
So, the next case is the next set with 0269, which is Latin iota. And we have 03B9, which is the Greek iota. And actually here we see that the Latin dotless I should be added into this set.
Mm-hmm.
Because the...
Okay. 0131.
Yeah, 0131, which is not listed here and was not listed in our material, but will be, because when we see the when you look at the rendering of Greek iota, it sometimes takes the shape of Latin iota and sometimes the shape of Latin dotless I, or you could also say formulate that in other words, of course, that Latin iota and dotless I borrows from Greek iota. But these three code points take forms to make them interchangeable. And so this will create an inscript variant between Latin iota and Latin dotless I.
Which is probably fine. They don't tend to be used in the same language.
Yeah. And the Armenian is inherited, so not much to say about that.
Well, I mean, the dotless I could be used on the same word, but not on the same loop position. That's what you're trying to say, right?
No, what I'm trying to say is the iota and the Latin iota and Latin dotless I do not get used in the same language.
Yeah.
So you can easily make. We have precedent of having inscript variants in scripts that are shared by many languages. Even in cases where letters are in fact used both in the same language, and it turns out it's never as critical as you think, because you have to have a minimal pair of two words that are precisely differing only in that one letter in the same position, and that is more rare than you think. So that wouldn't be it, but here it's even easier because the two in question, 0131 and 0269, are just simply never part of the same language repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
which is so the reason why they can.
Yeah. Who used 269, by the way? Which language used that? Do we know?
Which language uses what?
269. In the document, probably some.
Yeah.
Probably
yeah, okay.
African language, I would assume.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, we have documented both Latin America
and Scotland. Sorry about that. Should have known probably asked. Okay.
Yeah, Dr. Scotland I is used in Turkish.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, next one is...
The other one is used in Burkina Faso and Senegal. They document that.
The next one is... The next one is 1EF1. And it's presented on page
27.
It's presented together with 1EE5. And we have looked at that again. It would create inscript variant, and we had decided that 1EF1 should not be considered to be a variant of 0O4F5. So 0O45F. So we only keep one of the pairs. So
you're maintaining your position that the basic Cyrillic letter and the Latin form with the dot below is you think that is a reasonable cross-skip variant, but once you add the hook, it becomes distinguishable. Is that a good summary?
That's a good summary. Yes.
Good. Okay. Well, you write it all down and. Documented.
Yes. And then the last thing that we have to lift up is 04EF.
Right.
So this is a case where we have a Y shape, one with Macron and one with a tilde. And we have decided to defer that for further discussions about the diacritics.
Yeah, because that's a slippery slope. Because you have a lot of cases where, in fact, people use the Macron to mean any accents. It's quite common, in fact. And so if you start to go there, you have to basically make the Macron the equivalent to the acute, the gray, for example. So you that would be going a bit too far, probably.
You have deferred it, I understand, but if you do take it up, you need to realize you have many, many other pairs that are distinguished only by Macron and tilde. And so we will reject anything you send us that doesn't treat all our cases the same.
We understand that. And
okay, as long as we're clear about
that is one reason why we defer this, because we want to have a common discussion with all cases. Up to now, we have focused on the cross-script variant, because that is what you advised us to do, because you wanted that to be. So we haven't focused that much on inscript variants. That discussion starts now.
Right. Well, tomorrow.
tomorrow. Tomorrow in Brussels.
You are very clear about that. Good.
Yes. So that is our list, and thank you for your comments and discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do realize that just the way the ground rules work is you write something up, you put an argument down, and we will have a long discussion here, and we may not always accept your argument.
Yeah, we realize that. We've already seen that.
So, you know, we try to be
that's very good.
Objection.
Yeah. So this is very good because, I mean, there are more discussions on this. I mean, we shouldn't take this lightly. It's important to get it as good as we can. It's a complex area, and we should appreciate that it is complex and that there are many aspects. So I think it's very good that we as a group come to one solution and propose it, and you as a group discuss it and agree or disagree, and we have to think about it again if you disagree with us.
Yeah. And it's the way the process works. If you disagree with us, you can continue to propose the same thing as often as you want.
Okay, we will remember
that. The procedure actually talks about that case. We may never get an LGR out, but if you feel you have a strong argument, there is no reason why you are formally prevented to just keep repeating yourself.
It's like when the Senate and the House of Representatives don't agree on the budget.
But okay,
right.
We have to agree.
The government gets.
We have to agree in the end because otherwise. Things don't, we don't see the result, and all of us want to have the result.
Right.
So we will make sure that we agree in the end.
Good. That sounds very agreeable to me. Anything else we need to discuss?
No.
Not right now.
Not right now, but later.
See you in Barcelona.
So, thank you very much for taking your time and getting up early. It was really good for us to have this discussion now, here in the middle of our meeting here in Brussels. So we have tomorrow to discuss this and other things, and we've had spent 2 days
right.
and preparing. So it's very good.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I would like to talk about your Inscript variant for just 1 second. You will have noticed that our comments were kept in on a general level, and that is part of our ground rules, is that we want to discuss preferably concrete examples. We want you to commit to saying, okay, we want this, and then we discuss it, as opposed to hypothetical cases.
Okay. We understand.
Right. And if you can not just say we want it, but if you can say we want it and here is why, that, of course, is always stronger. And eventually, in the end, the proposal will have to have the why in it, except for, you know, real obvious cases where things look alike. We can just say they obviously look alike. We don't have to have a research behind it. But in any cases that are questionable, the more questionable they appear, the more the documentation has to be going into details.
We understand.
Good. Yeah, so I think we covered. I just wanted to be sure that nevertheless, we hope that some of the discussion of kind of general concern that we put in that other document that you might find that helpful starting tomorrow.
Yes, we have read through all documents that you sent us, and
So not only reading through, we have discussed through the documents, and so they've been very helpful. So thank you.
Okay, that's good. That's good to hear. If we reach the end, let me ask my colleague before we take this offline. Should we reconvene? We have a few minutes left on our time slot to discuss Earth IP issues.
Yeah.
And we would meet on Skype right following this. And then we say thank you to the Latin Generation panel, and we're signing off.
Yeah. So I'll see some of you in Barcelona. Maybe we can have some informal discussions there.
We shall have.
We have. Yeah,
I plan to be there.
Yes, we have a session with them.
Yeah, we can have informal. We can have a session. We can also have informal working discussions if that is helpful. I'm open to that. I'll be there in there.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.